In 1985, Madonna became a diva with this hit. 23 years later, is she done? Today on Soundcheck, we debate the Material Girl's new album and her bid for relevancy in pop music. I'm John Schaefer, and coming up later on Soundcheck, singer-songwriter Natalia Zuckerman may be the daughter of classical musicians, but she's blazing her own trail in American roots music and will play live for us in the studio. But to begin, Madonna defended her pop diva crown throughout the 1980s and 90s by keeping a step ahead of the tastemakers in music and fashion. Today, Madonna releases a new album called Hard Candy, and on it she gets help from some A-list pop talent like Justin Timberlake, Kanye West, and producers Timbaland and the Neptunes. But her decision to revisit her dance floor glory days might be brilliant or just nostalgic, and it raises the question, is Madonna still a diva, or is she just done? There's only one way to settle this, and that's with a
Soundcheck Smackdown!
It's the explosion that gets me every week. Joining us on the phone for our Soundcheck Smackdown today are our old friends Ann Powers, chief pop music critic for the LA Times, and Greg Kot, pop music critic for the Chicago Tribune and co-host of Chicago Public Radio's Sound Opinions. To both of you, hey. Welcome back to Soundcheck.
I got my wrestling belt on. How about you, Craig?
I feel like I'm on World Professional Wrestling or something like that.
All right, that's well, great. Then we're ready to rumble. Ann, let me ask you first, Madonna, diva or done?
I don't think Madonna will ever be done. I mean, there are certain icons, it's just impossible to talk about them as irrelevant. And, you know, obviously this new record isn't the breakthrough that she had 20 years ago or whatever, or even 10 years ago, but it is still a very strong record. I think commercially it's having an effect, and I think her work with the producers she's chosen actually pays off in a lot of ways.
Greg, there are lots of positive reviews of this new record by Madonna. What do you think?
Well, I think the record's a dud, actually. I think these things always look a lot better on paper than they do in execution. You've got all these superstars involved in this record, and you think, wow, how can this miss? You know, you've got Madonna and Justin Timberlake and Timbaland and the Neptunes and Kanye West puts a cameo in. I mean, you're talking about, you know, this glittering crown jewel of what pop music has been like in the last 3 or 4 years. But I think they all sound kind of bored on this record. I can name you, you know, half dozen records that each one of these people has worked on that's much more exciting than the current record. And I think one of the problems is that Madonna, for the first time in a long time, is trying to keep up with what's going on there in the top 40 instead of setting the trends.
See, I see it differently, as you might expect. I think that Madonna is sort of laying claim to a certain territory that that she has owned all along. In other words, it's not so much that she's trying to keep up, but she's trying to say, look, all these people that, all the women, especially that these guys have worked with, Pharrell is the other producer, and the Neptunes are the other producers on the record, along with Timbaland and Justin Timberlake, you know, Nelly Furtado or Britney or whoever. I mean, they all owe such a huge debt to Madonna, so who can blame her for being like, get in the ring, you know? And literally, I mean, she's wearing a wrestling belt on the cover of the record. This is a record about competition. It's a record about asserting power, and, you know, I don't think it's a perfect record, but I do think that it is a powerful record.
So this is Madonna marking her territory in a...
Yes, in
speaking.
A way. I think that's absolutely true. I mean, a lot of the songs are literally about competition, you know, whether it's She's Not Me, which is about a female rival, or Give It to Me, which is like, I'm going to last longer than any of you. And maybe you think that's silly coming from a 49-year-old woman, but she has the right and she has the power to do it as much as a 22-year-old Pop-Tart.
What about the lead single, 4 Minutes? What do you make of that?
Me?
Yeah.
I think that's an awesome single, and here's why. it reminds me of other awesome singles like Losing My Religion or I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys, in that it's really powerful, it totally hooks you in, and when you really think about it, it means nothing. It's like completely nonsensical, and I think that's the essence of a great pop single a lot of the time. So it really has an effect, plus amazing video, which you can always have to consider Madonna as a multimedia artist, you know, not just music.
All right, let's hear a little bit from the lead single from Madonna's new record, Hard Candy. It's called 4 minutes. That is 4 minutes, the new single from the new record by Madonna. The album's called Hard Candy, and on our Soundcheck Smackdown this week, we're debating the record and the place of Madonna on the pop landscape with Ann Powers of the Los Angeles Times and Greg Kot of the Chicago Tribune. And we want to give Soundcheck listeners a chance to weigh in. Does Madonna still have what it takes to be a pop diva, or is she ready for the casino circuit? You can call us at 212-264-7483, or you can leave a comment on the Soundcheck page of our website, wnyc.org. You can see my blog entry on the whole Madonna diva or done question. Again, the phone number, 212-264-7483. So Anne likes that single. Greg, what do you think of it?
It sounds like an awful Frankenstein hybrid. You know, they threw everything on there, the horns and the beat and the tick-tock vocals, and you've got a Timbaland cameo on there. You know, when Timbaland's rapping on your song, you know that it's got to be serious. And then you've got Justin Timberlake singing the chorus with her. I made the mistake of trying to parse the lyrics of this song, and it's totally nonsensical. As Anne admitted, it says absolutely nothing. It's trying to sound important. It's absolutely trivial, and that's never been the case with a Madonna record. You don't want her to be profound. When she tries to be profound, she sounds awful. But what the problem here is, again, you've got producers doing their mediocre work compared to what they've done in the past. I can think of songs on this record that remind me of other songs that these producers and these artists have done that are better. And for the first time, I hear Madonna, trying to ride trends. It's not a good sound for her. When she's done her best work, she's worked with hungry producers who have been trying to make a name for themselves, people who weren't as well known as she was, certainly, or certainly mainstream household names the way Timbaland and the Neptunes are. And
well,
I think
but,
that's when she's done her best work.
Like, I don't know, Greg. I mean, come on. She's worked with Babyface. I think the string.
Yeah, but that was an awful song, too, Ann.
That was a bad song. You know, I think that record is beautiful and holds up over time. But I think the thing is that a lot of the producers she worked with in previous albums have been European dance music producers, and they're not as hungry or new as maybe American ears think, you know? And I love Ray of Light. That's probably my very favorite Madonna record of her later career. But William Orbit was not a brand new artist when he turned up with Madonna. He had been working with Beth Orton for a while. You know, his sound was known. I don't think it's really fair to say, well, what, she shouldn't work with Timbaland? In fact, I think probably Timbaland wet his pants when he found out he could work with her. And it's something, she should have the right to work with, you know, the mega producers, because she's a mega star.
Yeah. All right, round one goes to Anne for the image of Timbaland peeing his pants. But all right, let's come back to something, Anne, that you mentioned before, that, you know, the Material Girl is now getting pretty close to Mrs. Robinson, you know? I mean, now this has been one of the things that I've always, you know, I haven't been a huge fan of Madonna, but I've really sort of admired the way that she has kind of broken through the normal constraints of a woman making her way in this field. And especially, you know, at almost the age of 50, you know, she is not going gently into middle age at all,
no.
It seems.
No.
So what about, you know, the way sex is being used, from everything, the cover art to some of the lyrics on this album?
I have a lot to say about this, but Greg, you want to go first?
I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's fine. If, you know, it's great if she wants to be sexy, and you know, she certainly is a sexy woman. There's no complaints there. I just want to, you know, to me, the whole idea of this ageist, she can't be sexy anymore at 50. It's irrelevant. I'm more concerned about the sound of this record and also the sense of personality. I think Madonna's personality is actually kind of lacking on this record, except for that one song, She's Not Me, where I do like the fact that she's a little feisty and she's protecting her turf. You know, the other songs sound, you know, where she's equating dancing and having sex and, you know, doing it, you know, till dawn. I mean, that's essentially what these songs are about. You know, a lot of singers are doing that these days. You know, I want her to do something where her personality is coming out a little bit more, and She's Not Me is the one example on this record where I hear Madonna's personality in full flight. That's what I want to hear from her, because she's got more personality than a lot of these wannabes who are trying to be her, you know, the Nelly Furtados or the Britney Spearses.
All right, we'll send it back to you, Anne, for your response in a moment, but here is the song Greg is talking about, She's Not Me, from the brand new album by Madonna called Hard Candy. Alright, so a little bit of throwing down the gauntlet there. I can do it better. She's Not Me is from the new Madonna record, and we're speaking with Greg Kot from the Chicago Tribune and Anne Powers of the LA Times about Madonna. Diva or done? And so, alright, back to you, Anne. I mean, the whole question of ageism and sexism and the way Madonna has played against type, how's that playing out on the new record?
Right, well, this actually is where, I mean, I'm not going to say I agree with Greg, but I do think there's some problems here. This is where the record disappointed me. I think Madonna, she's been our kind of guide through American sexuality and I guess now European sexuality since she lives in London. But and she's taught us a lot about how we view our own sexual desires and expressed it over the many decades. Now, she could make an amazing work about being a middle-aged woman and what happens to your, you know, to your sense of yourself, to your sense of desire during that time. This is not that record. It has hints of that. I think the title track, Candy Shop, is hilarious on that level. You know, it's like, hey, little boy, I'm going to give you some candy. That's pretty funny. She's putting herself in that role of like, you know, okay, you think I'm a cougar, you think I'm a creepy older woman, this is what it sounds like. But throughout the record, I think she does kind of revert to, well, this is the same kind of expression a 25-year-old could make, you know, Fergie could make, or Nelly Furtado, a 30-year-old. And I want to hear songs that really show the sensuality. I want her to make a Sophia Loren style, you know, a record that sounds like Sophia Loren looked in her classic movies, you know, or Anna Magnani or something. I mean, these are women that I know Madonna admires, and I want to see her there. I don't want to see her pretending to be 22. So that is one level that it does disappoint me. However, I will say that I think her personality is all over this record. There's a song with S&M references. That's classic Madonna. There's a song that plays around with Spanish. That's also classic Madonna, her debt to Latin culture. You know, there's a lot of her, and of course the message of dancing as sexuality and as utopia. That's like Madonna's manifesto. So it's definitely along the lines of what she's said in the past, and she's sticking to her agenda, but, you know, like Hillary, she needs to show more humanity. Anyway.
All right. Ann Powers, making a few sort of broader cultural references there. And Greg Kot with us as well. And so are some of our Soundcheck listeners. Lots of interesting comments coming on the website, which we can get to in a moment. But let's take a call. Our number is 212-246-7483, 264 rather, 212-264-7483. And Peter joining us from right here in Manhattan. Hi, Peter. Do you think Madonna still a diva, or is she done?
I just don't think this is as inspired as, you know, like, take Dead Time Stories for a perfect example. That was a great album, and it was definitely... I think it made a connection, and I also think the problem is now you've got a much different listening audience. I don't really know if Madonna is appealing to the kids that are tapped into, you know, the massive digital world of music, and it's about that kind of grassroots approach. And although that was never what she was about, I just think she's dated. I don't know. It just sounds very flat and uninspired.
Well, you know, in fact, Peter, many of the comments that we're getting on the Soundcheck page of our website are variations on Bob from Huntington writing, "You've got to be kidding. Does anyone really care?" And Veronica in Manhattan writing, "Why are we still discussing Madonna?" So when we come back from a break, Ann and Greg, I guess I want to pose the question to you. Why are we still discussing Madonna? What does it say that 23 years into her career, she's still able to provoke these kinds of reactions from people? So we'll take a quick break, and then we'll have more of our Soundcheck Smackdown, looking at Madonna's deal with Live Nation and continuing the debate on her relevance. And then later, singer-songwriter Natalia Zuckerman cuts a strong female voice of a much different sort on her latest album, blending folk, blues, and steel guitar. You can hear a bit in the background, and she'll play live for us in our studio coming up later on Soundcheck.
Played your song in my head through this whole flat state, and this city is plastered with posters of your face. Let's open up on any given night. Catch me on the floor, working up the sweat. That's what music's for. I'd rather not explain. For me, it's just usual. You can get the once I get the.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and this week's Soundcheck Smackdown continues as we debate Madonna, her new album Hard Candy, and her latest bid for pop diva supremacy. We've been joined by Ann Powers, chief pop music critic for the LA Times, and Greg Kot, pop music critic for the Chicago Tribune and co-host of Chicago Public Radio's Sound Opinions. And Greg, I mean, we have, as I mentioned before the break, a number of people writing in with variations on the phrase, "Who cares? Why are we talking about Madonna?" I mean, the fact that we are still talking about Madonna, even if you hate the record, doesn't that say something about a certain kind of staying power and a certain importance that she's been able to maintain?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, when you go back and read or think about what people said about her when her career began and said this is the ultimate example of Warhol's 15 minutes and she's on minute 14 and a half right now, they never thought she would last more than a year or two. The fact that she's been able to sustain it for so long is really remarkable. I think what it is two things. One, pop is about this amplified sense of personality that she has completely mastered. She's just larger than life. And then, secondly, she's been able to reinvent that personality again and again. Every time people have written her off, she's come back with an album that's put her back on the radar again in the middle of the mainstream. You know, when she did, you know, mid-90s, people were writing her off, and then she comes back with Ray of Light, reinvents herself. You know, when she did that American Life album, that total bust singer-songwriter record, people were saying, oh, she's done. Then she comes back with Confessions on a Dance Floor, completely regains her dance floor audience, her you know, she's all over the clubs again. So even with this record, even though I don't like this record, I think, you know, she's one of those artists you can never really take your eye off because, you know, what's she going to do next? And that's always been the exciting thing about Madonna, that you don't know what she's going to do next.
And I will note that that the new single has sold over 1 million copies as digital sales, and it's as I'm looking at some press release online, it's actually the second single to ever do that behind Rihanna within the first 5 weeks of it being out, which tells me that maybe there are some kids who are listening to Madonna. And, of course, there was that Miley Cyrus viral video in which Miley and her little buddy danced to 4 minutes. So I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, Madonna sort of, even though I want her to make a middle-aged record, in another way she's ageless, like she's like a goddess. And you can be a 4,000-year-old goddess and still, you know, have a conquest who's a 25-year-old guy. So why not?
Dimitri, one of our listeners, emails and says, it says something when Miley Cyrus could make a better video for 4 minutes than Madonna does. Don't know exactly what, but it does say something. All right, let's take a call. Steve joining us from Clifton. Steve, what do you think about Madonna?
Well, I just want to say, I think she's still a diva. I don't think she's done at all. I mean, she keeps coming back. She does good music. She doesn't always have great records, but I think people still want to listen to her.
Have you heard the new one?
Yeah, I have, actually.
And?
I really enjoy it. I think it's a fun record. I think Confessions on the Dance Floor promised to be this really up-tempo dance record, but it had a lot of, like, religion in it and social commentary, but I think this record's just about having a good time and dancing and enjoying yourself.
Thanks, Steve. Let's go to Evan, who's right here in Manhattan. Hi, Evan. What do you think of Madonna?
It's funny. Madonna's been around, at least Borderline, I think, came out when I was in junior high school. And with this record, she's, you know, it kind of makes me proud because she's the first of my generation's artist to join the pantheon of irrelevance with The Who and the Rolling Stones in that, you know, just keeping going long past they had any since the time they had any meaning.
So they've joined the pantheon of irrelevance,
well,
in your opinion.
Yes, yes.
Well, she's in some pretty damn good company there. All right, Evan, thanks very much. Some comments. Will in Oakland, answering the question, Madonna, diva or done, Will writes, she's pretty much Arby's by now. On the other hand, Nancy here in Brooklyn says, y'all are whack. Madonna's still the bomb. Greg is making no sense. Madonna's no master musician, but she is a diva performance artist. And Anne in Manhattan asks, how much of this new album is Madonna's own creativity, and how much is Madonna just putting her image and voice on a packaged and produced product? And Greg, that question seems to go to the heart of your kind of reaction to this new record.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact that she's sort of deferring to these guys, that's a first. I mean, she's co-produced, co-written. She's getting a co-writing credit on every track on this record, but for the first time in a long time that I can recall, she's not taking a co-production credit. In other words, she's sort of turned it over to the pros. She's kind of like saying, basically admitting, I don't really know as much about this as you guys do. Why don't you create this stuff for me? And that's a disturbing sign, because she's always had a sense of control about what she's done and always seemed to anticipate what her audience needed. And that's why, going back to my original point about working with guys like William Orbit and Mirwah and people like this who were on the way up, they weren't really that well known in the mainstream in America. That's what I was. That's right. The point I was trying to make. And she was, you know, she was sort of bringing them into a bigger, wider mainstream audience that they'd never had before, and they were collaborators. And I don't sense that sense. There's not a sense of collaboration about this record. It's like she's plugging into the Nelly Furtado formula or the Gwen Stefani formula, and it's not a very becoming look for Madonna, frankly.
All right,
I don't know. I just have to say that I think, you know, we talked about Timberlake and Timbaland a lot. We haven't mentioned Pharrell as much and the Neptunes, and I think those are the tracks where you hear more of a collaboration. And I also wonder if maybe the writing credit business is a business deal that we don't understand, because I still feel Madonna on this record. And there's an anecdote floating around that when Justin was flagging in the studio, she popped him in the derriere with a vitamin B12 shot. And I mean, I think that shows a little bit of domination on her part.
A little Roger Clemens action there. All right, let's take a call from John in Brooklyn. John, welcome. What do you think of the new album?
Well, I heard a couple of soundtracks that you had, and one of the things that strikes me, if you're going to reinvent yourself, which is probably what you're going to be looking for in anybody who wants to continue on a long career, you probably, one option, and I know one of your guests mentioned the Sophia Loren option, and that is maybe get some natural instruments in there. Hmm. Reinvent yourself in a way that you're not relying on the same technology, the digital technology that's been around forever. I mean, you could go with some of the rappers who have, you know, thrown in a double bass and a trumpet, something that's more substantive underneath what you're doing, and maybe that can give her some kind of spark. Or perhaps maybe take some of the world music examples that you get and throw some tabla drums in there.
Right.
Something a little different that changes what the club music can be, because it all sounds the same to me.
All right. Well, there certainly may be an element of ageism here. Caroline in New York writes, you know, Madonna is great. Now that she is going to be 50, she's suddenly going to be irrelevant. Is this ageism? So Hard Candy isn't as good as Confessions on the Dance Floor. American Life sucked. Maybe this is her pattern. Why are we tearing her apart? So as Greg was saying before, there have been albums where people have tended to write her off and only to find out a year or two later that suddenly she's back. Stronger than ever. Let's hear a little bit of the final song on the album. It's called Voices, and this actually, I'm not sure how much acoustic sound there is here, but there is a kind of attempt at an orchestral wash on this tune.
Who is the master? Who is the slave?
Voices is from the new album Hard Candy by Madonna, the subject of this week's Soundcheck Smackdown. We've got Greg Kot with us from the Chicago Tribune and Ann Powers from the LA Times, and lots of Soundcheck listeners on the phone and on the website. Heidi in Williamsburg writes, I can't help it, I love her. Also, the new album isn't anything original, but I love it. Have to love a woman who has two kids and still is as ambitious as ever. Guys, let's talk about ambition. Madonna has signed this 120...
I have to interrupt. She has three kids, or at least she almost does. Don't forget her adopted son.
That's true. $120 million deal, one of these so-called 360 deals, which involves merchandising and licensing and all that, with the huge concert producer and promoter known as Live Nation. So is this, you know, her ambition to once again be... the model of the next stage in the development of American pop music?
Boy, that's a big question. But, you know, I'm thinking of her as kind of a McDonald's-type franchise. I mean, it's one of those things that just keeps going and going and reinventing itself. I mean, think about the Beatles in the mid-'90s when they basically resold all their old music to people and just completely found a new audience. I mean, do you realize in 95, 96, the Beatles outsold every new artist that year? And I think Madonna is looking to do the same kind of thing with this Live Nation deal. I mean, she's going to be 60 by the time this deal is done. You think people are going to have complaints now about this ageism debate? I mean, she's still going to be finishing up that deal 10 years from now. And I think that's what's going to happen, is that, you know, she's going to find new ways to sort of to sell herself. I mean, that's what she does, and she's been great at it. And I think people who are writing her off, including myself, who are saying this album's not so good, I mean, I think that's very, very premature. I'm kind of really curious to see what she does with this next 10 years, because as Anne has alluded to, this is really new virgin territory, to not to belabor a pun, but this is an interesting area
like
for a woman.
Like virgin territory.
Yeah.
Like a virgin territory.
Yeah, exactly. This is really interesting area for a woman of her stature to be investigating what's going to happen. And I think what Madonna does between the ages of 50 and 60 could really write a new chapter in the way we perceive pop music and women in pop music.
I think that's very true, and I think not to agree when we're supposed to be smacking down. But, you know, given that, like, the other big artist to sign recently with Live Nation is U2, who can kind of follow through on what the Stones did, for example, and just be that rock band that lasts forever, you know, and be that band that people constantly go back to, or even Springsteen, you know. Madonna's in a different category. Her shows are very different. They're, you know, they're spectacles. I mean, the last tour, the Confessions tour, was, I mean, let's just say the woman, the acrobatics, it's unreal. I mean, how does she do it? The yoga, my God. Anyway, so just on that level, like, physically she's astounding, and where she takes that. But, you know, I have a side of me that, like, wants her to make a kid's record, too. I mean, she is a mom. That's a whole other side of her personality. She's talked about it in books. I mean, written books, rather, for kids.
Right.
You know, she's written children's books. And I would love to have her make a children's record. I mean, my four-and-a-half-year-old.
So she has not exhausted the possibilities of the Madonna brand, is
no
it
way.
Sounds like what you're both saying. So,
yeah, no.
All right, so we come to a terribly agreeable conclusion to this Soundcheck
yeah.
Smackdown, but the smacking will continue online. Go to our blog, the Soundcheck page, WNYC.org. The discussion continues there, and you can join the many listeners who've left comments in the past half hour. Greg Kot from the Chicago Tribune, Ann Powers from the LA Times, thank you both for being with us this afternoon once again on Soundcheck.
My pleasure, John. Thanks.
And still to come, Natalia Zuckerman comes from the classical music world, in fact, from classical music royalty, but she's blazing a trail in the roots music world. She'll perform live in our studio, and then tomorrow, Moby returns to Soundcheck to talk about returning to his DJ roots on his new album. That's tomorrow on Soundcheck.